Welcome to the Bob Bloom Show with your host, Bob Bloom, a production of South LaSalle.
Welcome to episode 8 of the Bob Bloom Show, the Hater's Guide to PHP Serverless Part 2, Server Less Literally. Today is Saturday, October 1st, 2022. The Bob Bloom Show is my monthly commentary podcast devoted to PHP, published on the first of the month. This episode's title is an ode to one of my favorite sports YouTubers who has an ongoing Hater's Guide series. That moniker seems apt here. My original intent for this podcast was to do a deep dive into the frustrations of using PHP with Lambda, putting into podcast form what I covered in my project's description on my PHP serverless project.com website. My deep-seated worry is that complaining about Amazon Web Services on a public podcast without backing it up is not a good idea. On the other hand, I do go through the history of PHP and Lambda, and yes, there is some history on my website with links. Be very laborious to repeat that on this podcast, and I'm sure even more laborious to listen to. So I'm going to defer to the details to my website. So I ask you that you go there for all those links and stuff. Last month, I did part one of my Hater's Guide to PHP Serverless. PHP, where art thou? This month is part two of my Hater's Guide to PHP Serverless, part two of two, Server Less Literally. Going through my draft, I know that I'm kind of laborious about how I go about trying to make a point. But I'm trying to make a point here. I'm trying to overcome something that I consider is cultural. So I want you to bear with me. Okay? And it's a process that I've gone through. Server. Server. We understand servers. We know servers. We understand servers. We know servers. We eat, breathe, sleep servers. Servers. We understand servers so well, our understanding of them is intuitive. Servers are so essential. We think in terms of servers. We think servers. Our lexicon is server lexicon. Our conversations are rife with server terminology. Servers are elemental. Servers are bedrock. Servers are bedrock technology upon which we build digital worlds. We have this thing called serverless. I think this is one of the most idiotic technological terms in the history of idiotic technological terms. Man, I think maybe the most idiotic. Yet, in this idiocy is profundity. It encapsulates the cultural truth of our development's existence. Whoever coined this term was not thinking in terms of serverless. They were thinking in terms of servers. Whomever coined the term serverless was thinking in terms of servers. Why else would the word server be first and foremost in this term? Maybe this person was so seeped as we are in servers that is the most normal, the most natural thing to describe something that is not a server. The most normal thing to describe something that's not a server is to use the word server in the name. Or maybe whomever coined the term serverless was trying to jump a cultural divide by describing this thing that is not a server as less of a server. Maybe devs then would intuitively understand what the serverless thing is. or more precisely, what it wasn't. Perhaps whomever coined the term serverless was not trying to describe what it is, but trying to communicate what it is not. Why would somebody use a term for a technology that on purpose is not designed to convey what it is? Why is it so imperative to term a technology for what it is not? Servers are such a foundational, elemental thing that we see as servers. Did I write that? Bear with me here. That I wrote. Bear with me here. I'm trying to make a point. Servers are such a foundational technology that we think in terms of servers. We talk in terms of servers. We visualize things in terms of servers. Servers are just that basic part of our lives. In a way, they become cultural. And being cultural, this new thing, not being a server, is not going to be intuitively understood. And that makes for a tough marketing problem. It's a tough thing to sell what is not understood. So how do you sell this new thing that's not a server to devs who understand servers in an elemental, visceral, deeply subconscious way? Well, you term it in a way that you think will be instantly understood. You do not fight the cultural significance of the term server. Instead, you go with it. You focus on what this thing that is not a server is not. You do not focus on what it is. You do not even attempt to come up with a term that captures what this thing is, because it's not worth it. Because that kind of term that describes what it is going to fail. It's not going to be accepted. No one's going to understand it. Nobody's going to want to understand it. No one's going to buy it. So you look at a term that describes what it's not, because at least you think that will be understandable. Or be more precise, is a term that will be accepted, whether or not it is actually understood. Because the term serverless is not understood. The term serverless is not meant to convey what this technology is. It's meant to convey what it's not. This technology is not a server. It's serverless. It is 100% logical that to describe what this thing is not, to use a term that devs fully accept and embrace, because that's a great thing for marketing. A term that devs understand intimately, and of course that word is server, to convey that this thing is a new technology, it's not a server, excuse me, to convey that this new technology is not a server, whomever coined the term serverless did a very logical thing. They appended the word less to server to convey that this technology is not a server. It is serverless, and I think completely fails. Less here does not mean a lower quantity. Less means does not exist. Serverless does not mean there is a lower quantity of server, which actually is a concept that makes total sense to us. Serverless translated as a lower quantity of server means there's a server. We would think there's a server, but it's, you know, streamlined to achieve something specific. And of course, we would think speed. We would naturally think that serverless meant a server that is stripped of whatever so that it delivers speed. So at the cost of not having other things, it would deliver speed. So it's sort of serverless. Less quantity is server, but it delivers, you know, speed or whatever, that thing it's supposed to focus on. Except that the term serverless is meant literally. Literally, less translates to not exist, as in server not exist. There is no server. The term serverless is idiotic because it was destined for failure the instant it was coined. The term serverless is by definition incapable of crossing the cultural divide that it represents because its premise is rejected on its face. The idea of server not exists, that there's no server, right? It's stupid. Of course there's a server. What do you mean there's no server? How could there not be a server? There's a server. Case closed. Except there's really no server. Okay. Deep down, there's a server somewhere. But for practical purposes, you're never going to touch it. You're not touching what they use to deliver this thing called serverless. By the time you get to the serverless technology, to what's exposed to you to use, all that server stuff is gone. All the server stuff that you know and love is gone. Personally, I have failed in my personal attempt to jump this cultural divide. I have not reconciled, but I'm trying to reconcile this fanciful notion that there's no server with the reality that there really is no server. I myself think of Lambda as a super duper virtualized thingamajiggy. I confess, I need a crutch. I need something to lean on, something to help me transition sort of mentally to this new technology. And that crutch is thinking that Lambda is a virtualization thingy on steroids, which is true and in a way kind of bullshit. True and bullshit at the same time. But I know that. I know that I'm in the midst of making a cultural shift. So I allow myself my fantasies because it allows me to hold my rejection of this basic premise in abeyance. I reject the basic premise that there's no server, but I hold that in abeyance while I learn this new technology. So I open my mind just enough by playing these little games so that I can absorb what this new technology is. So my mental gymnastics have a purpose. Stop rejecting the technology enough to learn enough to get to where I need to be to use it and to understand it. So I'm finding this culturally tough. And when I learned it, and I wrote that here, my biggest problem learning this technology is I think in terms of servers. I translate everything into server lexicon. I understand server. I don't understand what the heck this thing is that has no server. What? I can tell you, it's not working. I am not understanding Lambda when I see it as a type of server. It's not a type of server. It's not a flavor of EC2. It's its own technology. So, it's been frustrating. It's been frustrating that this new thing, I can't quite get into it. So, this is how I walked into learning about Lambda, about using Lambda. I just thought it was some sort of fancy EC2 thingamajiggy. It's not. Have you used LightSail? Yeah, I kind of thought originally Lambda was some sort of LightSail kind of thing. But LightSail kind of being for users and Lambda being for developers. Wrong. There was a podcast called Serverless Chats. It's a serverlesschats.com. Earlier this year, episode 132, they interviewed Dr. Werner, excuse my pronunciation, Vogels, Chief Technology Officer at Amazon. It's at serverlesschats.com/132. I encourage you to listen to it. All they talked about was serverless. So there was time for Dr. Vogels to get into how Lambda came into being. I encourage you in the strongest way to listen to this podcast. Now, very handy, there's a transcript of this podcast. I will quote from the transcript. AWS customers wanted to execute custom code when some Amazon services were used. They noticed that customers wanted to do stuff when their Amazon services were triggered. They wanted to do stuff that was not available in the base feature set of the Amazon service they were using. So the customer set up a way for that Amazon service to execute code, which would sit on EC2. The customer figured out a way on how to execute custom code on EC2 when an Amazon service was triggered. Typically, this custom code was very modest. Small number of lines. They just want to accomplish something very discreet and to do it efficiently. In my opinion, AWS was intrigued with the use of EC2. Triggering custom code on EC2 was interesting to AWS, but not enough, like my opinion, to spur an idea for a new service. I think what intrigued AWS was the attempt to match the scale of EC2 with the scale of the Amazon service originally being used. Dr. Vogels uses the word fleet twice. The first quote is, "And to do that, you have to run a fleet of EC2 instances because that was the only option that you had." The second quote Dr. Vogels did using the word fleet was, "It was hugely inefficient to run these large EC2 fleets. Customers were spending big money reserving EC2 capacity to run small pieces of code whose sole purpose was to execute when an internal Amazon service was hit that had to reserve a ton of EC2 capacity to match the scale of the service being used. EC2 itself did not have the same scalability. You have to reserve the capacity you think you need." Do you know what I thought serverless was when I first heard of it, when I first sort of got an idea maybe what it was? You know what I thought it was? I thought it was a computer science concept cooked up in academia. More specifically, I had this scenario that some computer science PhD candidate was very wise. They wanted to carve out a new postdoctoral career, dreamed up the ultimate irritation, the non-server. Hey, that's a grant-worthy idea. You know what I thought? I thought that someone in AWS somehow found this thesis. They joked about it at lunch one day. Ha ha ha! Ah, you know what I saw? I saw this thick dissertation talking about a world without servers. Can you imagine that shit? Ha 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 ha! They all laughed about it, but back at the office, one of the people at lunch, they looked for this thesis. And ultimately, what happens is they think, you know what? We should look into this. Because if there's something to it, we can make a lot of money. And if not, we'll write it off as R&D. But if you can make something out of it, we'd be the first. And of course, other competitors would come in trying to duplicate it, but we'd be first and we'd have more experience with it. So that's what I thought. That's what I thought happened. So I concluded that whatever serverless really was, that somehow it was fungible. It was like reproducible, it had standard properties, it followed some sort of academic theory. Wrong. AWS says, we noticed our customers were doing something and they were trying to solve a problem. And they built something that really wasn't, you know, was the best way to do it, but wasn't really the best way to do it. So we went out and we figured out something from the ground up to solve this problem that our customers were dealing with. Check out this quote from the interview. Dr. Vogel says, "So first of all, you know, Lambda and serverless are not the same thing." Yes, that's what he says. Lambda and serverless are not the same thing. Personally, no, I don't. I thought Lambda was AWS's serverless offering. Kind of like Tissue is the generic product and Kleenex is the brand. Serverless is the generic product. Lambda is the brand. Wrong again. He says Lambda and serverless are not the same thing. So the term serverless does not mean server not exist, AWS. What does it mean then? Dr. Vogels continues, and I'm condensing, kind of editing the quote from the transcript to keep this snappy. Almost everything else in AWS is serverless by nature. SQS, S3, you pick any product, almost. They are all serverless. Serverless in this context means that customers do not have to worry about scale, reliability, performance, managing costs, things like that. So, the only thing that really wasn't serverless at AWS was compute. This is interesting. That is really confusing. The word serverless is deployed in multiple environments here. Its definition is determined by its context. Not helpful. Especially when the technology in question is directly termed server. Is SQS S3 or pick any AWS product serverless? Come on, man. Be precise in your wording. The precise word is service. Let's do that quote again with me taking liberties. Everything AWS offers is a service. You know why? Because that's what the S in AWS stands for. Services. Pick any product, SQS, S3, whatever. They're all services. Service means that customers get scale, reliability, consistent performance, that customers pay for the services that they use. Service also means that customers do not have to install the damn thing first to get them to work. Being a service means that these things are always on and always available for instant use. There's one thing that AWS that's not completely like this, and that's something that we will call compute. So we get the two words that describe what this technology is, or what AWS intended this technology to be, instead of a word, words that describe what it's not. Now, I'm taking great pains here to make a point. Serverless is bullshit. It's a bullshit term that describes nothing, except to say there's no server. This term is idiotic. It's describing something in the negative. So it describes nothing. And it opens up the opportunity to mean whatever someone wants it to mean. Which is why there's so many damn definitions. And every time I go look for one, there's a different definition. There's more definitions of serverless than there's raindrops when it rains in the front porch. You want serverless to be a catch-all category for Amazon? So sure, go ahead. You want to equate serverless with managed services? Managed servers, that is. You want to equate serverless with managed servers so that you can get on the bandwagon of the serverless trend? Yeah, go ahead. But we're PHP devs, and we need to dispense with the term serverless, especially when it's persona non grata at a certain place. Let's call this what it is, not what it's not. Dr. Vogels is great. He uses the word compute. And AWS is services. It's a compute service. And that's how I'm going to term it from now on. It's a great term. Great, great term. Not serverless, a compute service. It runs code. Compute means it runs code. This is how I define the word service in this context. If you have a code, it runs it. More broadly, service means I don't have to set anything up to run that code, which we know is not true. But it's a special service. And I accept that. And I actually am embracing it, but let's call it what it is. You definitely have to set up Lambda to run code, but it's not like a server setup. Profoundly, we're not setting up a server. Now, I know. Kind of looks like we're setting up a server. There's server environment variables. There's a folder structure that's reminiscent of what we're used to in a server. But this is not the duck you're looking for. This does not quack like a duck. Does not walk like a duck. At best, I would say this is an Amazon duck. It's a duck that Amazon dreamed up, conjured up, and cooked up. It's not a duck. It's not a server. This is a completely proprietary AWS technology that Amazon cooked up from scratch, all by themselves. It's Amazon's compute service. You give a code, it runs the code. You pay for the time it takes to run that code, more or less. Lambda was originally conceived to run code triggered by another Amazon service. Interaction between Lambda and other Amazon services is baked into Lambda. The original idea was not about running apps onto Lambda. And may I say, the original idea of Lambda was not about running monolithic PHP apps onto Lambda. Lambda was not conceived to be an alternative hosting platform to EC2. Now, it's a pretty good moneymaker for Lambda. AWS is running with it. But if we go back a decade, that's not how it was conceived. That's not the light that went off. And that means there's no server and there's no server to provision. Lambda does not take care of provisioning your server. There's no server. It's not a managed server service. Lambda is taking care of all that pesky, is not taking care of all that pesky under the hood server set up on your behalf because there's no server. It is serverless, literally. Thank you for listening to this, my 8th episode of my Bob Bloom Show, PHP serverless. Literally. My next podcast episode is scheduled for November 1st.
You have been listening to a South LaSalle production. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of South LaSalle, Bob Bloom, nor of the organizations represented. Links and materials discussed on air are available in the show notes for this show. Information contained herein have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but are not guaranteed. Podcasts are released under copyright. Rights are reserved. Email correspondence to the attention of Bob Bloom at bob.bloom@lasallesoftware.ca.